Two wildfires are burning in the Pinaleno Mountains of Arizona's Coronado National Forest north of Tucson. Firefighters have been working for over a week to control the blazes. Today, humidity and rain are giving them a helping hand, not a moment too soon. The fires have been threatening to engulf homes and endangering the Mount Graham International Observatory. The observatory is currently home to three telescopes, one of which is still under construction. The telescopes, called the Large Binocular Telescope, or LBT, is slated to be the largest and most powerful telescope on Earth once it's complete. It will be able to take images that are 10 times sharper than those coming from the Hubble Space Telescope. First up this hour, we're talking about the Mount Graham Observatories. If you'd like to join our discussion, our phone number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And now let me introduce my guest for the first section of the hour. Dr. Peter Strittmatter is Regents Professor at the University of Arizona and Director of the Stewart Observatory, of which the Mount Graham Observatory is a part. He is also head of the Department of Astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and he joins us from there by phone. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Strittmatter. Hello. Didn't quite hear that, but I guess you can hear us okay. Is that right?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. So tell us the latest on the fires. Are things looking better today?
Things are looking very much better. Since last Friday, we've had a very scary several days. But I'd say starting on Wednesday and through Thursday, things have been getting steadily better. And this morning, I think the main worries are past us.
Really? That's good. Congratulations. So how close was it? I had read up to a quarter mile. Is that accurate?
Yes, it may even have been a little bit closer than that. But I'd have to say that the Forest Service firefighters did a wonderful job in protecting not only the observatory facilities, but also the many other structures on the mountain, the private cabins and the transmitter stations on Heliograph Peak. So we're delighted with what they were able to do for us.
Now, what are the concerns? I mean, if obviously the good news is that you didn't actually catch fire, but are there any other lingering concerns about possible heat or smoke or other kinds of damage to the equipment?
Well, we have not been able to get to the site. We've had a couple of technicians who have actually been there with the Forest Service. As far as we can tell, there has been no damage internal to the buildings, and we still need to investigate that in more detail. But I think it's reasonable to assume that not only the telescopes themselves, but also the equipment survived what was, as I say, a very scary few days.
Yes, I should think. Tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, what's the appeal of Mount Graham to observatory builders? It's a high mountain. Are there other reasons people like it?
Yes. It is a high mountain. The observatory itself is located at 10,400 feet. The skies of Arizona are renowned for being clear, which is excellent for astronomy. The climate is also very dry most of the year, which is an essential for astronomy at certain wavelengths, such as the submillimeter region or the infrared region. Astronomy has become a subject where you have to take whatever the universe gives you, and it chooses itself what wavelengths it's going to provide you with information. So you need to look across the whole spectrum, and Arizona and high sites in Arizona are excellent for that purpose.
I guess, and you now have learned the downside of having a very dry climate.
Yeah, yes, you could put it that way too.
But that's all right. So tell me, tell me a little bit about your telescopes and the others that are up. First, tell me about the ones that are currently operating up there.
Okay, the two that are operating. One is called the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. It's an optical infrared telescope that has been used mainly for imaging purposes, for all kinds of scientific programs, ranging from solar system objects like comets and asteroids, all the way to distant galaxies. The other one is the Heinrich Hertz submillimeter telescope, radio dish, 10 meters aperture. Principal purpose of that has been to study the interstellar clouds, the chemistry in interstellar clouds, and the way in which stars and planets are forming today. And they've both been in operation since 1993.
And the new one that's coming along?
That's the Large Binocular Telescope. That's a collaboration with Italy, Germany, Ohio State, the Research Corporation, and the Arizona Universities. And that consists, it's an optical infrared telescope which has two 8.4-meter mirrors on a common mount, hence the name binocular. And it is, when it will be completed, which we hope will be by the end of next year, it will be the most sensitive telescope for optical work anywhere in the world, have a collecting area equivalent to a single 11.8-meter telescope. But I think the thing that excites all the partners in the project most is its ability to make sharp images on faint objects. And there it will be able to make images, as you said in your introduction, some 10 times sharper than Hubble at the wavelengths of light that still come through the Earth's atmosphere.
Right.
Obviously, Hubble has a unique place at wavelengths where the atmosphere is opaque.
Right, right. And do I get a chance to say the words optical interferometry on the radio now?
You do.
I'm not going to try to explain it, but I love to say it. You somehow combine the light from these two telescopes. That's why they're the binocular, right?
That's right. If you combine them in an appropriate way, you can achieve the image sharpness that would be obtained by a single 22.8-meter telescope, 23-meter telescope. That, of course, and you can do it, at least that's what we project, on faint sources. So we'll be able to study, for example, galaxies beginning to form and accumulate shortly after the Big Bang and watch that process by looking at different look-back times. The other aspect of it, which is very exciting to us and which is being supported by NASA as well, is the ability to exploit the wave nature of light and combine the beams from the two telescopes so that you can look at a very bright star and actually cancel out much of the light intensity from the star and enhance the intensity from a nearby planet. And in that way, detect directly the presence of a planet around nearby stars. And that is a project that the partners in the LBT project are pursuing very, very actively.
Sounds very exciting. You know, I have to say, it's my recollection there's been a rather long gestation on this, because if I'm remembering correctly, it was back in 86 or 87 when I started getting the first press releases announcing that this telescope was on the way. Am I remembering that correctly?
You are indeed. The actual construction only began in 1996, and got going in earnest in 1997. But you're right, we were talking about the LBT back in the mid-80s.
Okay, our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK, and let's take a couple of calls on this topic. Joe from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on. I had a question. It was mentioned a couple of times in your introduction and just a second ago, about the Hubble telescope, and I was wondering if this telescope would affect the decision as to whether to repair the Hubble. I know that's currently being made by NASA, and you mentioned that there was a place for Hubble in the opaque atmosphere, something like that. If you could explain the difference and whether this telescope would go towards maybe a decision to get rid of the Hubble. And thank you, and
interesting question, Joe. Thanks for asking.
Yes.
Dr. Strittmatter.
Very interesting question. I actually don't think that the existence of ground-based telescopes, even the LBT, would influence the authorities to actually not proceed with Hubble. They'll have to make their decision on other grounds, but it's certainly true that some of the work that could be done with Hubble can be done with some of the larger ground-based telescopes, especially those that are equipped with what is called adaptive optics, which takes out the blurring effect of the Earth's atmosphere. But from the point of view of being able to study objects, let me give you an example. In the ultraviolet region of the spectrum, the Earth's atmosphere is opaque. It's very good that it's opaque, because otherwise life would not exist on Earth. And obviously, if you want to study the universe at those wavelengths, you have to do it from above the Earth's atmosphere. And Hubble is ideally suited for doing that, and the LBT and other ground-based telescopes will never do it. I can make the same kinds of remarks about investigations in certain regions of the infrared spectrum. So I think that for space telescopes, there is certainly a long-term future, and that will not be disturbed by the current generation of ground-based instruments.
I see. So it's not an either-or sort of proposition.
No, I think, if I may add, astronomy, you know, the universe is a very large and rich place, and that's full of many, many interesting physical phenomena. And astronomy has driven a lot of physical science understanding over the, and is, in my view, will continue to do so. So you've got to make use of whatever the universe decides to send you in the way of information, and therefore to gather it with whatever is the most appropriate instruments. And for certain kinds of studies, space telescopes are absolutely indispensable. And for others, work can be done from the ground, and then, of course, it's more economical to do it.
Okay, let's take another call from Kevin in Phoenix, Arizona. What's your call? What's your question? Sorry.
Let me start off by saying I wish it was Science Friday, science every day.
Ah, well, that's a good thing to ask for, but thanks very much.
Yes. My comment is that originally when the telescopes were being built on the mountain, there was concern over the endangered Mount Graham red squirrel. And I think it's kind of unfortunate that we're worried more about the telescope than we are about the endangered species on the mountain. The telescope can be rebuilt.
Ah, interesting question there, Kevin. I do recall in the early days there was a lot of concern. Have those concerns, I mean, obviously they've been addressed, but this fire can't be a good thing for the ground squirrel, can it, Dr. Strittmatter?
I think you got two different questions there.
Okay.
The first one is the influence or otherwise of the observatory on the red squirrels. And after 10 years of study, I believe it's quite clearly demonstrated that there are no negative effects of the observatory on the squirrel. The fire is a different matter, but I think your listeners may be interested to know that, in fact, most of the trees at the higher elevations, which is where the squirrel critical habitat is located, were actually already dead before the fire. I believe the number is roughly 90% of them were already dead. And the reason for that was a bark beetle infestation that took place largely because of the droughts and the stress the trees are under during the last several years. So in many ways, the fire did not destroy at the higher elevations where the observatory is any meaningful squirrel habitat. The squirrels had, in the main, already left there, but had gone to what I view as the more stable habitat, which is below 10,000 feet, between 8 and 10,000 feet. And there, at least on some parts of the mountain, the fire damage has been less. There has, however, been significant fire damage on the east side of the mountain.
Dr. Strittmatter, I have to stop you there, I'm afraid, okay, because we've run out of time. But thanks for that look down and for telling us what to expect when we start looking up.
Fine.
Dr. Strittmatter is Regents Professor at the University of Arizona and Director of the Stewart Observatory, of which the Mount Graham Observatory is a part. Stay with us. We'll be right back for a talk about the benefits of smoking.